Radio friends, if you were with us last week, you'll remember that we began a series of sermons on Christian marriage, specifically on the beauty of a Christian woman. Our messages are being taken from the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 3, the verses 3 and 4. I'd like to read those verses once again. Whose adorning, referring again to the Christian wife or woman, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. Not going to repeat or outline all that we said last week. If you're interested in that, I would encourage you to listen carefully for our address at the close of the program and write in for that message. But very briefly, we saw that the Word of God emphasizes that beauty can only be found in the work of Christ in the heart. Specifically then, for a Christian woman, beauty is not something that is restored by a plastic surgeon or purchased where the latest styles are sold. It's not if you have a perfect figure, but it's found in the hidden man of the heart, as says Peter, in that place where Christ alone can come by grace and implant his life of resurrection. And therefore, if we are ever to come to the place where in God's estimation we are beautiful, we must come to this truth that what is in our hearts as children of God is more important than our hair, jewelry, or clothes. Now we want to continue our study of this passage today and look more carefully then at that beauty, what that beauty is. It's not only that God works in the heart, that new life of Jesus Christ, and therefore living out of that life of Christ is the Christian's beauty, but the apostle goes on to say that this is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So that the essence of true beauty has to do with a certain kind of spirit. Now, when Peter refers there to a meek and quiet spirit, he's not referring to the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in us. But he is referring rather to the prevailing disposition of the soul of a child of God. The Holy Spirit is in the child of God. And when the Holy Spirit is in the child of God, then a disposition or spirit of a person is created. That is how we use the word. We say, I don't like his spirit. We mean that there is something coming out through a person's mannerisms, through his way of speaking, all which indicates a prevailing attitude that we don't like. Or we say, I like her spirit. We say, her mannerisms, her attitudes, her way of speaking, there is something very attractive about them. The inner spirit is leaking out and we are attracted to it. Our spirit, then, is that inward life, our life as it is lived toward God. And Peter now, we must remember, is talking of the child of God who has been renewed by the Spirit of life. And now renewed in Christ, our relationship to God, how we live toward God, that is always leaking out. That's our spirit. We can't keep that in. Through our eyes, through facial expression, through body language, through words, through attitudes, it all leaks out. Now the Word of God says, the essence of beauty is the spirit of a woman, that renewed heart prevailing all of the woman's relationship to God as that relationship to God begins to filter and leak out through her life. That's beauty in the sight of God. Peter emphasizes two things about that spirit, that it must be a meek and a quiet spirit. Now we must remember again that the Word of God is not addressing here personality, not merely addressing temperament. But when we read of meek and quiet, the Word of God is speaking of graces, gifts given of God, the gifts or graces of meekness and quietness. A meek and a quiet spirit in a woman may be found in a woman who has a bubbly, outgoing, vigorous personality. Doesn't mean that a woman is carnal if she is a bubbly type of person. Or a meek and a quiet spirit may be in a shy and retiring personality. But not, again, we must emphasize that these are graces. The mere fact that a woman is shy and retiring is not necessarily the proof of the graces of gentleness and meekness in Jesus Christ. Meekness and quietness are a grace. The apostle is not referring to something that comes from a person's genes. A shy person may know nothing of meekness and quietness. A shy person inside might be filled with all types of resentments. We must get away then from all the wooden and plastic notions of how this will express itself in different personality types. God is a God of great variety. God calls to himself men and women over a broad scope of temperaments. And we must remember that the church is not all walking in lockstep, that is, all one type of personality. That's characteristic of the cults, that we must all conform to one type of personality. No, this is a reference to the graces of meekness and quietness, a meek or gentle spirit. This word meek is used in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And it is used two times in reference to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my burden upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And again in Matthew 21, verse 5, we read of the Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he rode upon the colt, the foal of an ass. We read, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. We could translate this word meek, gentle. And we read, for instance, in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, gentleness. And again, we read in Galatians 6, verse 1, that if we have an erring brother in our church, we are to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness. So what is a meek or gentle spirit? Well, a meek or gentle spirit is negatively a spirit which is not insistent on one's own rights. It's not pushy, assertive, demanding one's own way. Moses was the meekest of all men, we read in the scripture. Does that mean that he wasn't a strong leader? No, he was a strong leader. But Moses' strength was that he did not insist on himself. He was not stuck on himself. He did not push himself forward. He did not look at his leadership in terms of himself and his own ambitions or glory. But he was a meek and he was a gentle man. He sought the will of God and firmly followed it. Meekness, then, is the willing surrender by the grace of God of our own rights, our own ease, our own advance, and a willingness to serve the advance of God in others. That's a meek and gentle spirit. Quiet, a meek and quiet spirit, we read. And that word quiet is not essentially different. It's used, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Quiet is an absence of a turbulent, agitated spirit, which shows itself in being mouthy, aggressive, yelling, irate. A quiet, that is, a possessed or peaceful spirit. And both meekness and quietness are to be the expression of a wife's accepting and embracing her divinely appointed place of subjection to her husband. We must not forget the context. It's speaking of the duty of the wife to be subject to her husband, and that can only be in the way of a meek and quiet spirit. A meek and quiet spirit, then, is a spirit which embraces the will of God for me, and in this case, with a married woman, subjection to my husband. We read, for instance, in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. You see, quietness and submission. Paul doesn't mean that the Christian woman becomes mute, that she doesn't speak. Of course not. But he means the Christian woman embraces the calling, the will of God given to her in her marriage. She is quiet. She accepts. She finds peace with the fact that she has been made a woman, made a wife. Meekness and quietness. That results in accepting, subjecting to the will of God. You see, subjection, whether that's in marriage or in any part of life, is not merely the ability to grit your teeth. Sometimes we think that that's subjection, I'll just grit my teeth. Then it's like the Quaker boy at the meeting on Sunday, and he was standing. And his mother said to him, "All right, the meeting has begun, the talking is done, sit down." And he responded to her, "I sit on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing." That's not subjection. A meek and a quiet spirit is a spirit which joyfully embraces the will of God for my life, joyfully embraces the will of God for my place. Here, a woman in subjection to my husband. Meekness and quietness consisting in this, that all that is in Christ is mine. The inheritance of glory, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, salvation, full salvation in Jesus Christ. Exactly what women and girls apart from God don't want to hear and can't have is the call for the Christian woman and is the beauty of the Christian woman. The beauty of the Christian woman is a meek and a quiet spirit. Apart from Jesus Christ, a woman and a girl has a turbulent, warlike spirit, and that more and more becomes plain in this world. In the world, women, apart from Christ, feel threatened. They feel they must assert themselves. They must take a place because they don't have a place. They do not know the satisfaction and fullness that is to be found in Jesus Christ. There is one thing that makes us meek and gentle and self-emptying, whether you are a man or a woman. These are not meekness and quietness, graces just for a woman. They're Christian graces. There's one thing that gives us quietness and peace in our hearts, an inward strength and contentment, and that is the possession of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. When we say, "By grace, the Lord is the portion of my soul, saith my spirit, the Lord is my shepherd, I will lay me down in peace." In verse 4, the apostle now tells us that this beauty, this inward beauty revealed in a meek and a quiet spirit, is of great price. He tells us that the great price of this beauty is found in two things. Number one, it is not corruptible, he says. It's not a corruptible beauty. Now, in this epistle, the apostle has been using that word, incorruptible and corruptible. He's told us in chapter 1, verse 4, for instance, that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And then he told us in verse 18 of that chapter that we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the blood of Christ, and that we are born again, verse 23, of an incorruptible seed in Christ. The beauty that God gives to a Christian woman within her heart is an incorruptible beauty. It's a beauty that death can't touch, which does not fade, which does not perish. It partakes of the nature of our inheritance in heaven. It's a beauty which does not grow old or lose its luster, but it's a beauty that shines more and more. The most beautiful women of God very often are those who are the most advanced in age. The beauty of Christ is an imperishing beauty. Now, dear girls and women, do you want a beauty which does not fade? A beauty that knows no wrinkles? A beauty that does not wash away with mascara, that is not rubbed off with a towel, a beauty that lasts, a beauty that is imperishable? This is the beauty that is to be found in Jesus Christ. This is His life in you, and a life of trust and obedience in Him. Death and old age can't touch it. Because it is the impression upon your soul of the likeness of Jesus Christ. When you see the beautiful woman of the world, and everyone bowing down to them and worshiping them, the fashion model worshiping at their feet and lusting, do you see the folly? The utter folly? I wish not to be cynical, but to bring the truth. The Word of God says, dear beautiful woman, perfect figure, if the Lord tarries a short time, you will be old. You might indeed be forgotten in a nursing home, wrinkled, no family to visit you. And you shall die, and in the grave, worms and maggots will crawl over you. Now you say I'm being morbid? No, this is reality. Hear the Word of God. A plastic surgeon and face cream can only go so far. They can't overcome the grave. And if your trust and if your life is consumed in the outward beauty, how pathetic. It's vanishing. Stop. Stop trying to erase the signs of death. Still pursuing. Many women are still pursuing the elusive beauty of youth, that they think that is beauty. Their beauty will be their hair, their jewels, their clothes. This beauty fades away. But not the beauty in Christ. This beauty is of great sight, of great price, because the Lord says in the second place, in the sight of God, this beauty is of great price. This word is used in Mark 14, verse 3, to describe the perfume which Mary used to anoint Christ. It was of great price. It was very valuable. It was expensive. Peter says, when God sees the beauty of Christ in His Christian woman and girl, He says, that's very valuable. That's very expensive. That's of great worth. That's the beauty of Christ. Oh, it is valuable and expensive. And in the sight of God, it is valuable. And why is it so valuable? Because God sees His face and His grace. Because He sees His purpose in Jesus Christ being fulfilled in you. He knows that as the fruit of the redemptive work of His Son, He grants to you a beauty of trust and love in Him in your heart, and He sees that here in you as a woman who of yourself can only be ugly in your sins. Now He sees in you the grace of Jesus Christ. He sees coming out of you the confession, I will be that which God wants me to be. He sees beauty in you. He sees a heart made by His own hands, which now wants to please God. Is pleasing God important to you? Every child of God wants God's smile, and every child of God dreads God's frown. In the sight of God, this beauty is of great price. It's fair and lovely, it's beautiful, and it's beautiful to us too. It's beautiful to you as a man, isn't it? Husband, young man, can you see beauty when you see it or not? Do you see the spiritual beauty? Do you place a great value on it? Do you? Christian women, that's why we love you in Christ. We love you not as a man who is enamored, lusting after a woman on a magazine cover. Do you want that kind of love? That's not love. That's lust. That's after an object. That's using you. Is that kind of love you want from your boyfriend? The kind of love that a man shows, love in quote here, lust that a man shows when he's looking at a magazine? Is that what you want for you? Oh, no. There is dignity in the Christian woman, and it's found in Jesus Christ. And you are to love that Christian wife and that Christian woman with a love which honors and respects and delights in the beauty that God has given to her in her heart. Can you see that? And Christian woman, are you beautiful? Then remember, once again, women, girls, and men and boys, remember, beauty is not something you put on. It's not something you diet to get. It's not something that's shown in low-cut tops exposing the flesh or shrunken tops exposing the belly button. It's not something seductive. It's not something tight-fitting. It's in the heart. Is that what you want? The Word of God tells us that a woman could have a physical beauty which could turn heads and be attractive. But apart from Him, there's only the emptiness of sin. Proverbs 11, verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman that is without discretion. Girls, women, don't fashion yourself after the Barbie doll, after the picture on the magazine, Young 16 or Cosmopolitan or whatever. That's not what beauty is. If that's all that you have, there's emptiness, a horrible emptiness, shallow. Beauty is Christ. Beauty is God. Beauty is seeing God's glory shining out of us. Beauty is being conformed in word, thought, action, desires, attitudes to Jesus Christ. And it's a beauty that does not fade. And it's a beauty that catches the eye. Oh yes, God's eye. And He rejoices. And we do too. We rejoice. For in Jesus Christ, we stand beautiful before God, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before Him. God bless His word to our hearts. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray indeed that that word may be a great power to our lives. Amen.